welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well today. Teresa Walker from the Associated Press will drop by at 8 o'clock. Nicole Auerbach at 9 o'clock as well. Got a lot to come today here on the show. Taking your thoughts all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. On our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe Rexroad, how are we doing?
Did you do that on purpose, Porth?
Little headphone issue?
So my mic wasn't working. I couldn't hear anything. I couldn't talk. And then he's like, hold on. And then it was like full blast. Was that like a...
I do not control the volume in your headset.
No.
Right, but I mean, I think it was just there. I'm talking about like having it off and on to give me like a little jolt.
Sure.
So.
Okay. Sure.
Sure. He's not denying it.
Some early coffee there for Joe Rex.
Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story.
I've got actual coffee too.
Yes, you do. You're just in good shape. How are we doing today?
Great.
It's good.
Why do we have to have full daylight at 5 a.m. in this state?
It feels like, I don't know about you, and this could be just me being an idiot, but it feels like every day it's a little bit different. Like today it felt like it was light immediately. I usually walk outside at 5 o'clock every day. Sometimes it's still dark. Sometimes it's bright. Today it was bright. I don't understand.
Well, some of that's probably just cloud cover, right?
Probably.
Yeah. I feel like it's just been getting progressively lighter. I love Central Time, so I'm not complaining, but... like, I would love this for the kids. I would love this light to be later in the day.
Sure. You're not complaining, but you're complaining.
Right. I'm not complaining about Central Time. I like Central Time. I am complaining about full light at 5 a.m. I'm sorry.
No, I'm with you there. It's too early.
It just doesn't, I mean.
Well, most people, I mean, they're still asleep at 5 o'clock. Just be dark. Wasted daylight at that point.
Can you just be dark?
Yeah, come on.
Dude. Yeah.
We'll see if we can get that figured out.
Yeah,
we
probably
a solution to that.
I mean, there's some states. Well, this state does because, like, Indiana had part of the state's daylight savings. Part of the state does it. Now, this state doesn't do that. They just have part eastern, part central. But
right.
There are some states that do the parts of it do the daylight savings and some don't. And
driving around in Arizona a few weeks ago, that was strange. Like, our phone couldn't figure out what time we were in. Sometimes it was specific. Sometimes it was mountain. Sometimes the phone kept going back and forth.
Depending on
like how many steps you would take one direction, it was unbelievable. I've never experienced anything like it.
That's interesting. You know, my phone, and maybe it's just because I have an old one, but like when I went to Knoxville for baseball the other day, and it only switches if I turn it off and then turn it back on, which actually I kind of don't like.
No.
You know?
You'd have to remember to turn it off and turn it back on to switch it.
Yeah. So both, you know, then coming back here too, I turn it off now. That's probably just a phone thing for me.
Maybe so. We got a lot of time issues.
Mine switches.
Does it? This is do you guys have the button on the phone?
No.
See, I'm holding on tight to the button. Everybody makes fun of me. That's
not
okay.
Been there in a long time. How long you had that phone?
A while. Every once in a while.
What iPhone is it?
Is it, would it be like a 6 or something?
Probably 6.
Or an 8?
Yeah. Yeah, he's probably got a 6.
No, well, the iPhone 8 had the button.
It might be an 8.
Maybe.
I don't know. Look at it.
It's still, even if it's an 8,
anyone?
That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Anyone? Let us know on the stream.
Anyone who's watching on the stream, what kind of phone do I have? It's a phone that I get made fun of for in my home. So
there you go.
But I like the button. I don't know if I can go without the button. But I also thought I couldn't go without the BlackBerry and the little keyboard. So we all evolved.
Joe Rexroad has evolved over time with his technology. Well,
we
got a lot to get to today here on the show after we solved the time problem that we've done so far. Lots to get to with the Titans. John Robinson on with Darren Donica Chase yesterday. And obviously, he kind of did his media tour yesterday on Good Morning Football as well, discussing the acquisition of Julio Jones and just the buzz that's come along with that. The Titans, they're on every national show. They've been on First Take. They were on Undisputed the other day as well. There's a lot of talk right now, both locally and nationally, about the Tennessee Titans. What does that all mean? Is that a surprise to John Robinson at this point? He discussed that yesterday with the guys on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Here's what Titans general manager John Robinson had to say.
I mean, I think there's kind of been some, you know, some behind the scenes buzz. You know, we had been mentioned, you know, in the previous weeks of being a potential landing spot, and we had some conversations with Atlanta leading up to Sunday before we consummated the trade. But you know, I think there was a little bit of an excitement level, you know, buzzing about adding into the team. And you know, I'm excited about the guys that we got coming back that were on last year's teams and the players last year's team and the players we added in free agency in the draft this year too. I mean, all those guys, it's going to take, you know, everybody on the team to help us win. But you know, it's good. It's great for the city of Nashville. It's great for the Titans. It's great for, you know, Miss Amy Adams-Strunk and her family and what, you know, her commitment to winning and all she's done for us here.
So that was John Robinson yesterday on Darren, Donick, and Chase. And, Joe, we hear it all the time from Titans fans who say, you know, the Titans don't get discussed enough nationally. There's not enough love for this team. There's not enough attention paid to the Titans outside of Derrick Henry. There's a lot of attention right now for this Tennessee Titans team. What does this ultimately mean in the long run? You heard John Robinson there talk about it being good for the Titans. What do you think this ultimately means in the long run of the amount of attention the Titans are getting right now?
Well, I mean, I don't mean to diminish us, you know, but ultimately they got to win, and that's going to be the biggest thing. But the Titans players have talked about this too.
Yep.
I mean, it bothers them or they notice when they get kind of overlooked. I mean, I think it's good for fans. I mean, I think it's good for the fans. Fans who are really into a particular team, they do care about, you know, if First Take is talking about their team or Pardon the Interruption. There's so many argument shows now that are on. I mean, Pardon the Interruption is sort of like
the OG.
Nice older fellas, yeah, just discussing things. But, you know, the two-person conversation shows, or three-person, that's, I mean, a lot of sports content is that, and a lot of that content has had zero Titans, you know, regardless of what they're doing. So I've definitely heard that a lot from fans. I also think, I mean, if you want to talk about fan experience, and again, the timing didn't work out here, but fan experience, you're going to get more primetime games, which fans love, of course. I mean, maybe everybody doesn't love being at Nissan Stadium on a Monday night when you have to work the next day, but for the most part, even just the 3 o'clock kick or 3:25 kick on a Sunday versus a noon or whatever, I mean, that stuff matters more to fans. It does matter, though, the guys notice in a locker room too. Ultimately, doesn't help you win. Like Mike Vrabel, this discussion, I mean, he's spitting on it and walking away. Who gives a crap? And really, I mean, you can tell from the John Robinson comment there, great, but yeah. You know, okay, it's about winning. He's trying to win. For us, I mean, look, so, like, just take, you know, I've already started to look at the fall, and I'm sure other people who kind of have different choices, like Gentry from the Tennessean or whatever, and there's some weekends where it's like, well, gosh, the Vols are here. I mean, for the most part, like, you're going to make the Titans game. But now it's like, I mean, since this happened, in my mind, you're not missing a second. Yeah. Not missing a second of these guys. I mean, like, there's no choice anymore. Even if it's like, I think this year, like, I'm going to miss the Tennessee Florida game for the first time since I've been here because I forget. I think they might be Seattle or something. You know, but it's like, no, well, no way. Forget about it. Like, you are coming. Like, they're going to get more. They're going to get covered more. They're going to be talked about more, written about more. Like, my summer has changed. Like, I'm like, how many Julio stories can be done, you know, this summer? Yeah, a lot of different ideas. I mean, so.
How many have you come up with so far?
I got a lot.
There you go.
Yeah, like a week series that I got in my mind. But and this is one of them. This is one of the angles to me is, like, just the view of the Titans. Again, does it matter more than what they do in the field? Of course not. But this is still an experience, too, for fans. It's entertainment, and this is going to certainly, to me, ramp up everything around this team. Now, hey, sometimes that hurts teams, you know, but I mean, I don't think it's a concern or anything like that.
Well, I remember, I think it was it the Philly game a few years ago where they win that game and yes, Taylor Lewan is, you know, yelling in the locker room about how they don't get enough respect.
Yes.
And then we know what happened.
And Byard.
Yeah.
And it but Lewan especially, right. And then they lose three straight right away.
I think, like, okay.
And I think the next week, I think they were at Buffalo.
Right?
Yeah. And it was just a disgusting game. Like
peed down their leg in that game.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that was just that was an affront to football that day. Oh, it was so bad. Great wings, though, that night.
Was that when, what was his name, Nick Williams?
Yes.
Dropped the touchdown?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, Mariota actually threw what should have been the winning, you know. But I'm sure, you know, he put a bad spin on it, according to Robbie.
He was god-awful for three quarters. But, yes, we forget that part. He was terrible for three quarters. Then he threw one pass. It was really good, yes.
So was Josh Allen, by the way.
Yes, it was
bad. That's where that's obviously the first time I ever saw him live, and I'm like, oh, God, this guy's awful. What have you done, Buffalo?
There was a run of 6 or 7 years where the Titans and Bills played each other, like, 2 out of every 3 years, and those games just wanted to rip your eyeballs out. And now it's like the most anticipated game outside of the Chiefs game this year.
Some Matt Barkley starts. We got a mute from Rex Road immediately.
God, dang it. It's the stupid daylight savings. All of a sudden it's fun. Both of those teams. So, but yes, that's exactly right. That was Vrabel's first year. Yes.
Yes.
So
then you had the Cairo Santos game.
Oh, yeah.
Where he missed, like, 4 field goals.
Yeah. I mean, in reality, 4, and the fourth was Vrabel sending him out for, like, a 52-yarder or something like
that. There was another one under Wisenhunt. I don't think you would have been. May not have been here for this one.
I had no Wisenhunt time, sadly.
It was, like, a 10-6 game.
Yeah.
And Tyrod Taylor, on like 3rd and 20, backed up on their own 5 or 10 yard line, scrambled for a first down. Like that game.
Port's still upset.
That game. Wasted 3.5 hours of my life watching that one.
Yeah, so some ugliness that's long gone now. But that was certainly, I actually remember like the questions for Vrabel even, I think the next week going into Buffalo game, like, you know, some of your players have said you guys don't get, and he was just like, who cares? You know, and he's right. You know, you get your eye, take your eye off the ball at all and you lose. Is that why they lost those 3 straight games? Because they're worried about that? I mean,
probably not.
But I mean, it is interesting that it was certainly a glimpse that like players care about that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, and right now, Titans, hey. There's no trophy given out at this time of year, but they're kind of winning right now. You know,
yeah.
I mean, the off season is, you got 16, 17 days a year that you get to evaluate a team. Everything else is just you make news? I guess.
I mean, we talked about it yesterday. I mean, they're getting more buzz right now than they've gotten since they were in the AFC title game. And that's just because they're playing Kansas City. But, I mean, they're getting more buzz now than then, I think.
I would say so. Probably since the 99-2000 seasons.
Yeah.
The Athletic has a I'll put it to myself again here. The Athletic has a podcast called The Lead. That's like our lead podcast.
Yeah.
I've been on it once ever. And it was when they made the AFC Championship game. So I'm on it again today.
There you go.
I mean, it's kind of an indication. People are like, oh, Titans exist in the league. Oh, yeah. How about that?
Did you know Joe writes for The Athletic?
There you go.
Yeah, we hadn't brought that one out in a while. Way to go, Porth.
Thank you.
There's been less self-promotion of Rex Road as of late.
I haven't written anything this week. I'm slacking.
Apparently, that's about to change.
I have a Julio X's and O's story coming, though, in which I basically do very little work because we have a guy who actually knows X's and O's. It's pretty awesome, but I'll take half the credit.
Looking forward to that. Coming up, we're off and running today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Now, most fans very excited about the Julio Jones trade. Some fans are not. And I think we may know the reason why. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, we were discussing the attention the Titans are getting right now in the last segment. So much so that it kind of seems like you've had a breakthrough moment in your family with the Titans. We've been discussing your 13-year-old for a long time, and his undying love of the mighty team that will not yield, the Detroit Lions. And I feel like we could have had a breakthrough
yesterday.
A mighty
team that will not yield. There we go. Yeah, I don't know if it was a breakthrough, but listen, here's another example, a teenager who loves sports. All he's been talking about is Julio Jones since it happened.
Yep.
But yes, yesterday, and I tweeted it, in case anyone hasn't seen it on Twitter, at Joe Rexroth on Twitter. This is total, let's just self-promote all
day. It really is.
But he said, hey, when am I getting my Julio jersey? You know, first of all, it's like, hey, spoiled kid.
Yes.
How about, you know, do some chores? But now, I don't know about breakthrough because, look, he has become a Titans fan. But I've told him, you live in Nashville, you should abandon the Lions.
Completely.
And you should embrace fully the Titans. But, yeah, I bet you this helps. Now, he does have a Derrick Henry jersey. I mean, he's gone to – I've taken him and his siblings to, like, camp before on fan days when I covered it, and they were, you know, went around and got autographs and stuff like that. So, I mean, he's a fan. But, yeah, this is like now he's thinking about the Titans in June. You know, probably. And,
that's a breakthrough.
And I'm not hearing any Lions talk. So that's a good thing. I threw out there the idea of, you know, just covering up one of those twos on the Henry jersey.
Yeah.
Can we do that? You know, save a few bucks. But I don't know that that's going to fly. So if he does his chores, he'll get that at some point, probably. And, yeah, I mean, he's constantly, like, what does it mean? Who's going to stop him? I mean, it's the same thing that we're all talking about. Like, wow, how good is this? How many teams have had three guys like that, you know? And then, unfortunately, I said, well, I will tell you, when the Lions had Herman Moore and Barry Sanders and Brett Perriman, you know, and I was like, ah, don't even bring up the Lions.
I was about to say, that's on you. What are
you
doing?
Yeah, I know. That's when I still cared.
He was walking away, and you brought him back in.
Wow. But I also pointed out, quarter century ago, so
that's true.
Yeah.
Well, that's good news. I saw your tweet yesterday, and I thought to myself, this could be it. It was Julio Jones that finally gets it done for young Brennan to come in and take the full plunge to Tennessee Titans fandom.
We'll see. It certainly has caught his attention. You know, so there's another little anecdotal evidence of what this has done so far.
So Brennan, one of many people who love the Julio Jones trade to the Titans. We've discussed it all week. Who's going to stop this offense? But not everybody loves it. There are people who are concerned based on John Robinson's recent track record with acquisitions that maybe this is not going to work out very well for the Titans. And, of course, one of many moves you can point to is the Jadeveon Clowney move from last season. You bring in Clowney. He waits until the last second, really, of training camp to come in and start to get ready for this Titans team. And as we know, he gets injured early on in the season. It does not work out. Zero sacks, and he's on his merry way now to the Cleveland Browns. You add in the Vic Beasley signing as well, which we've talked a lot about here. What a disaster that signing was. A lot of Titans fans saying, I don't really trust John Robinson and his evaluation right now. I mean, heck, Charles Robinson said last week when he started talking about Julio Jones to the Titans, I have to see if this works out with John Robinson because there have been some moves made as of late that have not gone well for the Titans. How valid do you think that reasoning is if you're not excited about the Julio Jones trade because of some recent moves the Titans have made? And do you think there's any validity to that whatsoever?
Well, I think there's validity to questioning in general.
Sure.
I mean, that's fair. I'll say for a million and 18th time that the bigger issue last summer, last offseason, was no one wants this guy. There's a lot of concerns about whether he wants to play football, but let's give him $9.5 million. Everyone wants this guy. Well, look, they all look misguided now, I guess. You won the sweepstakes. You won the recruiting battle. There's a lot more certainty about what you would have with a healthy player than the other guy. But we talk about Clowney.
Sure.
You know, it's a $4 million difference or $3 million difference or $3.5 million difference in what they made last year. They both drained you and gave you nothing. How does that apply to this? Sure, it's an obvious thing. I mean, it's a thing that John Robinson got asked, I think, by Glennon on Sunday. You know, after last year, you know, do you have any hesitation? And he said, you know, he said what Titans fans should want to hear, which is like you still have to be ready to take your shots when you have a look at it. So, look, if it doesn't work out for whatever reason, if the team isn't, if the team is still not good, like because of their defense, if the if Julio isn't good, all of a sudden he's fallen off as a player, Julio's not healthy or whatever it is, then they will be tied together. There's no doubt about that. It'll be, let's list them out. Let's list all the offseason moves that keep not working for John Robinson. So I mean, that's part of the risk here too for him. But I don't look at that and say, ooh, maybe he doesn't know what he's doing. You still have to look at his whole track record. He's got some big whiffs, got some big hits. Overall, more good than bad. And there's information on Julio that we all have. Now, do they have more? Those coaches have been spending weeks on looking at film. Those guys have spent phone calls calling Nick Saban, you know, around his signing of a big extension to be paid $18 million a year until he's 114 years old. And he still had time to talk to them for a few minutes about Julio. I mean, they've done their homework more than any of – they have more information than anybody else does. There's no certainty. But I don't look at last offseason – again, if that's the thing, then fire him. Like, if last offseason means that he can't make a good decision here, you shouldn't be excited about something like this, then I guess you're just out totally on him as a GM.
Well, I agree. And this is what I tried to kind of convey this week. The Clowney thing and the Julio Jones thing to me are totally different. I mean, number one, obviously free agency and trade, it's different that way. But even when we were discussing bringing in Jadeveon Clowney, there was a debate about, is he going to be worth it? Like, his production, is it worth it? I mean, he Clowney has always kind of felt like to me, man, that guy, he's just a physical freak. He's incredibly talented. He's athletic. The production, to me, has never really matched up to what we thought it would be when he came into the league. That's not the same thing with Julio Jones. Julio Jones, like the one question I have with Julio Jones is, can he stay healthy? That's the question I have. And you have that question to some degree with everybody in this league. The production, it's not even really comparable to me between Julio Jones and Jadeveon Clowney.
Right. And it's funny, too, when we get people doing the Davis-Julio comparison. So who's been more durable in their career? It's not even close. Yeah. Now it's a shorter period, and Davis is coming off a healthy year. Julio's coming off a – so the most recent history is the other way around. But, I mean, Davis has had major injury concerns. I mean, it's hard in this league not to at a certain point. I would say Julio has been incredibly durable given his usage and the amount of hits he's taken over the years. But sure, at some point it's gonna fall apart. But yeah, I think you're exactly right. Clowney was, I mean, like Clowney, you were hoping he could be like 2017 Clowney when Vrabel was his D coordinator. Yep. He had like 9.5 sacks. I think overall the combination of TFLs and everything was great. That's what you wanted. So that was 1 year with production that was like Pro Bowl-ish for an all-around player. You know, Julio Jones is like Hall of Fame level year after year after year. So it's also, though, I mean, and I guess you could knock it this way a little bit more than last year. This is still somewhat of a luxury addition, whereas Clowney was an absolute glaring, especially for those of us who looked at Beasley and said, like you got to do something else. Like it looked like an absolute void you had to fill. This still would have been, I think, a good offense without Julio Jones.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, I don't love the idea of abandoning your hometown team for the place that you live. I'm a Titans fan from Nashville who lives in Michigan, and I will not be leaving the Titans for the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, because of the freaking Detroit Lions. Are you kidding me?
A mighty team that will not yield.
It's case by case.
It is.
If the Lions are involved and it's a choice,
go the other way.
Choose the other team. The Browns, choose them. The Cardinals, choose them. Who else you got? The Jags, all day.
The Jets?
J-E-T-S. J-E-T-S, all
Jets,
day.
Jets, Jets,
Jets. I mean, come on. No, look, I agree. Like, I'm in general, you know, for the rest of my life, Detroit Tigers, you know, make a run at some point 20 years from now. If I'm alive, I'll be happy about it, okay? But you abandon the Detroit Lions if they are your hometown team. You because they have abandoned you your entire lifetime.
That's a good point. They really have. When we come back, we've discussed this week the biggest pressure facing the Titans. Who's under the most pressure? Who benefits the most from Julio Jones coming in? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Corey texting in, St. Louis native, now living here in Nashville, abandoning the Rams after their move back to L.A. and embracing the Titans was one of the easiest decisions I've ever made. Tighten up. So, Corey, embracing your philosophy. I like it, Corey. Well done.
Yeah, that's a totally different type of abandonment. That's a tough one. You know, that is tough. It's always interesting to me. There's still people, you know, sometimes they'll chime in on the show here or write in or whatever, who live in Houston, who love the Titans. And they sort of, you know, they loved McNair and Eddie George and Bruce Matthews and some of those guys that were there, and they kind of hung with them. And I feel like it's not a huge group, you know, but there's some people who do. But I can't blame anyone who's saying, man, if you're going to do that, especially with an ownership who did what those guys did,
yeah,
I'd have a hard time giving them a dollar more or, you know, flipping to watch them on TV ever again.
Ron on the text line says, I believe Julio is a team player, and being this late in his career, I'm sure he wants a chance to make a run or two in the playoffs for a championship. This is Derrick Henry's team, and I'm sure Julio knows that and will fall right in and do whatever it takes to get there. There's no guarantee, but the last thing he's going to be is a cancer in the locker room. Regardless of what happens this year with Julio, I think he's going to elevate and inspire this team and make everyone play better, even if he only plays half a year due to injury. Just being around him, watching him on the field, it's going to make the team better. If the defense can just be average, I believe we can be better than last year and be number two behind Kansas City.
This sounds Tom Brady-ish. Yeah. Just his inspiration. Even if Julio's just staying on the sidelines, like, you know, Nick Westbrook Aquina, you will get
catch
open.
The ball.
Yeah. Shane Bowen, this is when you call the blitz, Shane. the Brady effect.
But to Ron's
maybe
point,
Julio's becoming a little mythical here.
Well, I will agree with Ron from this perspective. I do think, like, my concern level of him coming in being a problem, pretty low. Like, I think he's going to be fine. And to Ron's point, I do still think, I mean, this is largely Derrick Henry's team. We know what the window is. You talked about it yesterday. The window largely is, can you win now with Derrick Henry still in his prime years? We've talked this week about who faces the most pressure. And there's a lot of different ways you can go with that. Tannehill, obviously being the quarterback, you're always under pressure. Todd Downing, the pressure was high to begin with. It just got even higher with Julio Jones coming in. Who do we think benefits the most from Julio Jones coming in? You've got A.J. Brown on the other side. He is ascending in this league, and we're going to get a little bit more deep into A.J. Brown and what we think he can be coming up in the next segment as well. Derrick Henry there as well. Maybe not having to face as many stacked boxes. Ryan Tannehill, another weapon on the outside. Who do we think benefits the most from Julio Jones coming in and the presence he brings that other defenses have to account for?
I think there's a long list, and I do think beyond the inspiration that touches everyone, like Shane Bowen, I mean, there's a little less pressure to me just in terms of you probably feel like, okay, we don't need to hold the Cardinals to 24 in the opener,
right?
You know? I mean, so like but that's not the top list. To me, I do tend to look at guys like Firkser and Reynolds and think, like, when are they ever going to have a problem, right? Now, are they going to get the ball? That's another question. But Tannehill, certainly, I think – In the year and a half plus that we've seen him play, he's not a guy who forces it anywhere, you know? I mean, how many times has he really just been like, you know what, A.J. Brown's my best receiver, I'm pumping it in there. I mean, okay, Humphrey's right here, I'll take that.
Yep.
Corey Davis, one-on-one over here, yeah, that's easy. So I feel like Tannehill has been a nice distributor of the football, who reads the field and takes what's open. And those guys are going to be open. Reynolds and Firkser are going to be open. I mean, they have to be. You, as a defense, what defensive coordinator is not going like, what defensive coordinator is going to even think about them ever? They're
not
just
many.
They're just little, you know, they're little X's on the board. Like, they could be anyone, you know.
Yeah.
They don't matter. This, how do we deal with this guy and this guy? That's, and they'll do different things among those three, right? But everybody else, they don't give a crap about them, and they're pretty good. I mean, we'll see with Josh Reynolds. I liked the signing. I think he's a pretty good player. And we know what, you know, Firkser is certainly a guy who has already been the beneficiary of what's around him, and now it's better. So I look at those guys probably first, even though, again, when you talk about benefit – and production and how it benefits your career, that's different, because there may be some weeks where it's like, nah, sorry, I'm just going to keep throwing to number 2 and number 11. Yeah. And by the way, you know, it's a 6 in the box. Here you go, Derek. I mean, like, there's going to be some weeks where they probably don't get that much action.
Well, Will Compton tweeted yesterday, the biggest winner in the Julio trade, that undrafted Harvard tight end scrapper, Anthony Firkser, who's been making sneaky athletic plays since he's been with the boys. He will feast this year with the attention on the big three. So Will Compton, big fan of Anthony Firkser, thinks he's going to have a big year this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's Firkser was already in line for a bigger role. How big? I mean, right now, he's tight end 1.
Yeah.
Which is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a – and I think also – I would also just talk about Derrick Henry on this topic, though, too, because it's a question of, do you benefit in terms of – within a game, play-by-play, what kind of resistance you're facing, or do you benefit in the bottom line? I think Derrick Henry's numbers are going down. I don't buy the idea, oh, 2,000 again. I don't see that. I see fewer carries, but I see just way less. You know what? We're going to ram it in there anyway because he's Derrick Henry, and more ability to have balance.
See, fewer carries, same Derrick Henry.
Right. And again – The key there, to me, the impetus for that is that after this 17-game season, that you have Derrick Henry ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not saying that he was, like, worn down going into it last year, but, boy,
he got a lot of carries.
He did have a lot of work last year.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, Todd Downing benefits the most. Jones makes an average quarterback play look better and makes offensive play calling much easier. I would agree with that to some degree. I mean, obviously, if you're an offensive coordinator, you'd love to have Julio Jones. But as we talked about, I think that also there's a lot of pressure on Todd Downing now. I mean, if this offense isn't an elite offense, people are going to look around and be like, dude, you've got 3 Pro Bowl level guys that you're dealing with on your skill positions, and you can't make this offense elite? What's wrong with you? So there's that part of it too.
Right. It's really how you want to look at it, because we've had the question of who has the most pressure.
Yeah.
But I think that answer could be the same. It could be him. Both things. Most pressure, but also most benefit.
Yeah.
If I'm him, I'll take the pressure in Julio over, you know, still a lot of pressure. And no Julio.
Absolutely. I don't think there's any question about that.
Makes it harder to screw it up if you're Todd Downing.
You would think.
You would think. Also makes it less acceptable.
Yes.
To screw it up.
Absolutely.
Yes. Now, had the Titans not done this and taken a huge step back offensively, it still would have been more about him than, well, I guess, you know, maybe Jonnu Smith goes to New England and is a Pro Bowler, an All-Pro this year or something. But it still was going to be, okay, what's the difference? Well, Arthur Smith was really good, and it's got to be Todd Downing. But, yes, now it's like, look what you have, dude.
Well, to me, my answer for this, it comes back to number 11. I mean, I think A.J. Brown massively benefits from this. And it was interesting. I was thinking about it, you know, before they make this trade. We talked about just the concern level of having Josh Reynolds as your number 2. I mean, he could have been fine. We don't know exactly what he would have been as a number 2 wide receiver. But I know this. If Josh Reynolds is your number 2, A.J. Brown's probably getting double-teamed a lot. And it's going to be difficult to double-team A.J. Brown now. I mean, unless you just want to have Derrick Henry scamper all over you at this point, if you're a defensive coordinator, I think if A.J. Brown can stay healthy this year, I mean, it's just – it's a natural part of his ascent anyway. I think he's getting better, and we saw him get better last year even with injuries that he was dealing with and that he played through. I think A.J. Brown could have a massive year this year. My conversation of who benefits the most starts with him. I think this is a huge deal for A.J. Brown.
Yeah, that's hard to argue with. I mean, he's a strong contender for the number one spot. It's just such a different outlook for him on what he's going to see. Well, and look, maybe, I mean, some weeks it probably is going to be like, you know what, cornerback one's on him.
Yep.
Because, look, Julio Jones, what if he's 80% of Julio Jones? A.J. Brown keeps growing. I mean, we may be seeing these guys, you know, cross each other in terms of, you know, trajectory, which makes sense based on their ages. So maybe A.J. Brown still sees more attention. But A.J. Brown's going to be just fine if that means the other guys go wild. And this guy wasn't available to go wild before.
When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on A.J. Brown and dive a little bit deeper into his trajectory. What do we think A.J. Brown's ceiling could be as a receiver in this league? How much do we think Julio Jones can help him get there? We'll talk about that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The Nashville Predators and 102.5 The Game jointly host a 615-day celebration presented by Social Furniture at Fordyce Center Bellevue, benefiting Boys and Girls Clubs of Middle Tennessee, coming up this Tuesday. During the 12-hour window from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., 102.5 The Game will broadcast live from Fordyce Center in Bellevue. Fans will have multiple opportunities to take the ice during donation-based public skate sessions. Draft Picks Restaurant and Bar will also be open all day long. Outside from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., the Fordyce Center Bellevue parking lot will be overflowing with food and beverage options, including Hunt Brothers, Coke and Dr. Pepper, as well as face painting, a photo booth, music from DJ Kev, and other Nashville Predators partner activations to further benefit Boys and Girls Clubs of Middle Tennessee. The Nashville Predators Foundation, empowered by Smile Direct Club, is running a silent auction, which is live until 6:15 on June 15th. Text PREDS to 76278 to bid on exciting sports merchandise and signed Predators apparel. 100% of the proceeds will go directly to the charity. For more details, visit the GameNashville.com/615-day. Looking forward to that event coming up on Tuesday at Fordyce Center in Bellevue. We will, of course, be there as well, starting at 6 a.m. So hope to see as many of you out there as possible. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Discussing the Titans and A.J. Brown, what's his ceiling in the NFL as a wide receiver? Now, Joe, we had a discussion similar to this last year as the season was going on, trying to identify exactly where A.J. Brown fits into, you know, the pecking order of wide receivers in the NFL. And as we found out as the year went along, I mean, he was dealing with a knee injury. I think it became pretty obvious at the end of last year. It kind of felt like one time a game he'd get hit in his ankle, and it was a struggle to get back up as well. So A.J. Brown was playing through some stuff last year, and still 70 catches, over 1,000 yards, 11 touchdowns, and at times was just an absolute monster. Like, no one's ever going to forget the touchdown he scored in Baltimore where he drug the entire Ravens defense into the end zone with him. Julio Jones coming in, I think A.J. Brown benefits more than anybody with Julio Jones coming in. What do you say to that, and what do you think his trajectory looks like right now in terms of where he slots in among NFL wide receivers and what his ceiling could be?
So I'll bring this I'll actually bring this back to Brennan, Mr. Buy Me a Julio Jones jersey, who's going through, you know, football workouts all summer. And a conversation, you know, he's obsessed with, like, you know, he's trying to increase his speed and you know, it's all about, you know, who runs a 4.4, who runs a 4.5. And the point I made is, you know, there's a lot of guys who run 4.5. I mean, you know, when you're talking about top athletes out there, okay, there are plenty of great athletes who run a 4.5, 4.4, and they don't sniff getting to the NFL as a receiver. There's a lot more to it than that. And obviously, these two guys are specimens, and they work on every aspect of it. But, you know, it's the nuances of the position. That's where Julio has been great, and I think that's where A.J. has – we've seen him grow since he's been here. And certainly that's coaching and all that stuff, but I think it's also his own you know, his own personal, individual work on it. Talked about what was the word that I forgot yesterday that we used all the time? Yeah, football junkie.
Yes.
Football junkie. So that's why I would answer that. I think his ceiling is very high. You know, is that to say that he's going to be at some point, you know, one of the top two or three receivers in the league? I don't know about that. But I think he's got a long career, if he can stay healthy, of being a top number one receiver in the league. He's definitely a number one receiver.
Well, I was impressed by the strides he took last year from this standpoint. I mean, we talked about heading into the year. You know, he's great after the catch. We knew that from the moment he caught the ball. I mean, the first time he was here. He's incredibly difficult to bring down. He's basically a running back when you get the ball in his hands down the field. But could he be more of a deep threat? Like, could he get down the field, win the jump ball, you know, take it to the house, be a vertical threat? I thought he was much better in that area last year. And, you know, he's 23 years old. I mean, I think that's going to continue to get better as he moves along here. But I look at him right now, and the point that you brought up that's kind of stuck with me, I mean, you were talking about this in training camp last year, how A.J. Brown reminds you of Kevin Byard from the standpoint of they're always in the film room, they're always on the field trying to get better, they're obsessed with football. And that's a great quality to have. Like, I think sometimes we think about that, and, well, of course they are. They're in the NFL. That's their job, to be obsessed with football. I think everybody in the NFL, to some degree, for the most part, loves football and loves putting in the work. But there are guys that take that to a different level. Like, I don't think there's any question about it. You think about Peyton Manning. He took it to a different level at quarterback. Obviously, he was physically gifted, and we know all that. But part of what made Peyton Manning great was his preparation and the work that he was able to put in. I'm not comparing A.J. Brown to Peyton Manning, but what you threw out there last year, I listened to, I paid attention to, and I think it's absolutely been the case. He always is trying to get better, and to me, that's a great sign for him moving forward. I think he absolutely can be a top five wide receiver in this league. I really do.
It's not. Yeah, it's not everybody. It's not. It's not. And there's a certain amount that's built in, but that isn't everyone. So again, I'll take it to the discussion with a kid. So it's like, hey, look, lifting weights, running, all that stuff, absolutely important. You have to be as physically capable as possible. But if you want to play like at linebacker, well, you better. Why don't you figure out what everybody on the defense is supposed to be doing, not just your job, the person next to you, the person on the other side of you. You know, that spend extra time with it. Figure it out. Coaches notice that stuff. I mean, that's on a much smaller level, but some people are just, you know, they just do that stuff. And I think some people are better at it than others too, right? I mean, some people just, like Kevin Byard, you know, is a guy who absolutely understands what everyone on the defense is supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Is every safety in the league like that? I bet you if they had some sort of an aptitude test on defensive football schematics, then that Kevin Byard would score real high relative to his position in the league. That'd just be my guess. So, you know, some people, yeah, it is. I guess obsession is a good word for it. But if that is, that's absolutely what A.J. Brown is. And I think it's what Julio Jones has been too. It's not just that he's incredibly fast, strong, and all these things. There are, again, Jerry Rice is the greatest receiver, and some would say the greatest football player ever, 4'6". So
yeah.
He was a technician who was just absolutely relentless at getting open, and you couldn't stop him. And it's because of those little things that go into it.
And in trying to identify what A.J. Brown's ceiling is, I think our Robbie and Rex Road correspondent Michael really nails it the best. Here's what our correspondent Michael had to say about what A.J. Brown's ceiling could be.
The ceiling is the roof.
The ceiling is the roof. Thank you, Michael. We appreciate that. What do we think about the ceiling being the roof for A.J. Brown?
Who is that?
It's Michael Jordan.
That was Jordan. That's
yes.
Right. You know, the funny thing is I never realized that was Jordan. When
really?
Was that?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Of all the times and the opportunity that you take to make fun of Michael Jordan, him saying the ceiling is the roof could be the dumbest thing he's ever said, and you didn't know it was him.
When did he say that?
I don't know, like five, 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah, some Tar Heel event.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. I always thought that quote was stupid, but I didn't realize it was. Wow, one more thing. I had no idea. I mean, normally I just talk about how he's 1-3 all time against Isaiah Thomas.
That really failed with my correspondent joke, Michael. I thought he would get that.
Yeah.
Joe had such a confused look on his face.
We have a correspondent on the show.
And his name is Michael?
His name's Michael. Who is it?
I was trying to think, like, who would that be? And then I was like, oh, is it someone, like, on Twitch right now? Someone on YouTube make a funny comment?
Maybe so.
The ceiling is the roof.
What the? Like, I want to hear the full context. Do you guys know the full context of this quote?
I think I've seen it before. I don't remember what he's talking about. The ceiling is the roof with A.J. Brown.
Yeah, go make another self-serving documentary.
There it is.
You are such a hater.
You are such a hater, Michael.
It was a good doc. I appreciate that he admitted how much he hates Isaiah Thomas.
There you go. So how much do we think Julio Jones maybe accelerates the top level, what we could see with A.J. Brown? We know that A.J. Brown obviously loves Julio Jones. He's looking forward to playing with Julio Jones, and this is a big deal for him. But on the field, what does Julio Jones mean for A.J. Brown, and do you think it accelerates him getting to whatever A.J. Brown's top level could be?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to predict, like, the bottom line for this. And I agree with you. It is going to be huge for him to you just can't focus yourself on him all the time like you would have in terms of coverage. Are his numbers? I could still make the case that no Julio, they're going to force feed A.J. Brown because they have to. And he's going to have monster numbers, probably a lot of yard after catch numbers. They're going to get him the ball in a lot of different ways. And now you can be more equitable. So does he get the ball less this year? You know, I think that's possible too. But again, if you have more space whenever you are doing your job on the football field, that's better for you. So how many years is Julio Jones going to be playing for the Titans and playing at a high level, if he plays at a high level at all? I would guess probably two.
Yeah.
And during that time, by the way, Titans are going to have to pony up for A.J. Brown. But I would say he could be in store for huge seasons. He could also be great, but with a little bit less usage because of this year. I mean, I think he probably has more big plays in him this year because of this.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting to think about, you know, the usage. I mean, 106 targets last year, 70 catches, 14 games. So you're factoring in two games there that he missed, and we don't know what that's going to look like. And then you add in an extra game as well this year. I am interested to see, like, what the target discrepancy looks like between Brown and Julio. Like, I don't think it's going to be a huge discrepancy. I think it's going to be pretty close. But depending on how defenses kind of attack those two, I am interested to see who ends up with more targets, if it's Julio or if it's A.J. Brown. I don't know. Like, I don't know what the answer to that is.
No idea. I mean, I have no idea. I mean, again, I think A.J. Brown, obviously, he's early in what I think is going to be a great career. And Julio Jones is late in what has been a great career. At some point, they probably cross. You know, what you hope if you're the Titans is that right now they have this window where it's
pretty high level,
just overwhelming for people. But, yeah, I have no idea on that. I'd like to see here. There's some more. Do we have some, like, FanDuel odds on this? I'd like to know what what Vegas says about over-under on, like, targets and catches for these guys.
Travis in Coopertown on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, barring injury and depending on the quarterback play, A.J. Brown's ceiling is a perennial Pro Bowl receiver, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's possible. Now, it's stiff competition, man.
Yeah, there's a lot of good receivers.
There's great receivers coming in this league right now. I mean, Alabama's putting however a year in the league that are ridiculous, you know. I mean, it's a position that it's just emphasized. You've got some guys who could have been great running backs who are opting for receiver because it's a better career path. You've also got some of those guys who, like, opt for linebacker because it's a better career path, frankly. But it's a passing league, a passing game. The offenses translate from college to pro way more closely now than they did 15 years ago, 10 years ago. And the hard part of projecting the whole perennial Pro Bowl is, like, there's a lot of candidates for that. But I think he can be that. I think he has multiple Pro Bowls in him ahead of him.
Coming up next, we will switch gears and get into a little NHL. A couple of former Predators making some big-time noise in the Stanley Cup playoffs. What does it mean for the Predators as well as they move forward here? We'll get into all that coming up next hour. Right now, though, got to tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. And look, the NBA playoffs are here. It's been exciting so far, and you'll be in hoops heaven betting on all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook. There are so many good matchups. FanDuel is taking that excitement to another level. New and existing users can bet risk-free throughout the playoffs. New users can get up to $1,000 back if your first bet doesn't win. Plus, once you have an account, you can bet one same-game parlay risk-free every single week. That means you can combine multiple bets for an even bigger win. The money line, the point spread, player assists, rebounds, points, three-pointers, everything is on the table. And if you don't win, you'll get up to $10 back. Basketball fans, now is the perfect time to give FanDuel a shot. Just sign up with promo code ROB to bet the NBA playoffs risk-free exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Risk-free bet for first online real money wager only and refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Same game parlay refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max refund of $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states and on mobile and web. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.